We're talking about Men in Kilts, Episode 7, Clans and Tartans. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Betty, and thanks for listening in to the podcast today. So next week will be the last episode of this show, and I'm really going to miss it. But I thought I would, like, give y'all a little heads up on what's to come after this show. So on May 19th, I'm going to do a podcast about the last Blockbuster documentary on Netflix. And the reason for that is because I feel compelled to get this story out, I know people probably have watched that documentary on Netflix, but it's not, you know, I grew up going to Blockbuster every Friday. Like, okay, so this, let me give you an idea of what my weekends looked like. So I would go to the skating rink and hang out over there. And then after skating, me and my little buddy, we would go and rent Blockbuster movies and, buy candies and do all that kinds of stuff. And then I would go spend the night at his house. And yes, it was a little boy, and I was probably 10, 11 years old, okay, y'all? So anyway, we would go and stay the night at his house, and we would watch these movies, stay up all night watching these movies. And, my sister was best friends with his sister, and they would rent the scary movies. So we would sneak into their room and get the scary movies and watch them, you know, scare the crap out of each other, you know. It was fun. That was my childhood. It's nostalgia. So, you know, and not only that, you know, not only because Blockbuster was my childhood, but also, you know, if you've watched this documentary on Netflix, you know, you'll see that there's a family. It's family owned and operated, but it's called Blockbuster. And what it is she's struggling to keep the name Blockbuster. So, but anyway, we'll get into that more, you know, when I do the actual podcast. But that's the future. And then after that, on the 26th, I'm going to start Farmhouse Fixer. And that is a house renovation show on HGTV with John Knight from the New Kids on the Block. And, you know, anybody who knows me and knows my sister, we are huge Blockheads. So, and she is a John girl. So, I feel like I want to talk about that show. And I'm not going to make any promises at this moment because she just got a new job and I'm so happy for her. But we've kind of made this plan. If it all works out, and if not, then I'll be doing this solo. But she wants to do this with me. So we're going to see if she's going to be my co-host for this show. We'll see, like I said. But anyway, that is the future of the podcast after Men in Kilts. But like I said, we are talking about Men in Kilts today. So let's just get into that. So the synopsis reads, Scotland's feudal clan system defined the country and still plays a massive role in its culture. Sam and Graham set out to discover how they fit into a system forged in war and peace. So this episode, it starts out with Sam and Graham, and they're going up a ski lift thing, it is what it looks like. And, again, you know, Graham, he's scared of heights, and you got Sam over here, he's teasing him about, you know, rocking the thing and everything like that. And they made a joke that they could probably, rename the show Mocking McTavish, which, you know, that's pretty catchy. But anyway, so they're in the camper van, and they're going to meet, two clan, people. And they start talking about what the word clan means. And, you know, it means family, you know, in kinship in the Gaelic. And they talk about how Colm, you know, your clan chief was like the father figure of the clans. So, you know, he was always the head. He was always making sure that everybody was doing what they were supposed to do. So throughout the episode, like I said, they're going to go and I think meet each chief from these clans. And they're going to visit the McLeods, the McDonalds, the McGregors, the McLarens, and the McTavishes throughout this whole episode. So, but I think at the beginning of this, they're fixing to go and meet the McLeods and the McDonalds. But Sam, he starts talking about how he doesn't know much about his clan history. And I actually have some trivia, you know, about that. I don't know if it's about Sam. I don't know anything about Sam, and of course, it's none of our business, really. But I've got some interesting trivia at the end of the episode that I'm going to discuss with y'all. But anyway, that's not important right now. But he starts talking about how Jamie is a Frasier, and he's based off of, you know, his history is based off of actual Frasier history. So that it's really interesting when they get into that in this episode. I don't want to get into it right now. We'll talk about that when we get to that part of the episode. So anyway, they're going to meet the McLeods and the McDonald's. And I don't know about today or whatnot, but these clans have been feuding for centuries. And they're going to a location where a terrible massacre had happened. It's called Trumpin' Church. And what they did is they fought over the land, because whoever owned the land, you know, controlled the sea and controlled, you know, everything. And so they fought over that. So they talk with these two guys, and so the McLeods come from a Viking named Jorg, and he came from McLeod. And the McDonalds come from, I believe the guy said, a man named Somerled. And they had beat the McLeods, the Vikings. So, 100 years into the future, from when the clans were founded, there was a blood feud. And on the Isle of Egg, there was this cave, and the McDonalds hid in this cave, and so the McLeods came and tried to smoke them out, but they ended up catching all of the McDonalds on fire. I hope I'm not getting those mixed up. But anyway, so that caused a big retaliation. The McDonalds came to the site that they're standing at, Trumpin' Church, and they massacred everybody. So Trumpin' Church is sacred ground, you know, I mean, and they were saying that one of the McDonald pipers was playing, and they were all shouting, "Remember the Cave of Egg," you know, where the McDonald's got slaughtered. And so they came and retaliated at this location, and a lot of the McLeods got slaughtered. So it's really sad, because, you know, I feel like maybe, I mean, I know they were fighting over the land and things like that, but, you know, so much death, it's terrible, you know. But this is what caused the feud. I mean, this is where it started, and then it goes all the way back, you know, and it comes, and it goes all the way to the, you know, to modern times, you know. I mean, they even have lullabies and things that talk about this, you know. So, I mean, it's just to remind them of why, you know, why these clans don't really get along. But at the end of this segment, the two men, they shook hands, and they got, you know, Graham and Sam got them to, you know, be civil with each other. It's, you know, I don't think it's a thing that is, you know, big today, but they were nice to each other in this segment. So so the next scene, we see Sam and Graham, they're riding a bicycle that has it's a two-seater bicycle, and Graham is in the front, he's pedaling, and Sam is in the back. He's supposed to be helping pedal, but he's not, and Sam, he's actually trying to touch the leaves and things, you know. And poor grandma's having to keep it steady and everything like that on the bike and everything. But anyway, they Sam says something about wishing he would have worn a kilt. And grandma's like, don't be ridiculous, you know. But that's a segue into the next segment. So they show Jamie putting on his kilt, you know. It's a famous scene from the first season where he's straightening it out and putting the pleats in and laying down on the floor and wrapping himself around it. As a matter of fact, I had just talked about this episode on, you know, about Outlander. So it was that scene was the cold open, the opening title card to the Reckoning. So, but anyway, so they start talking about the significances of tartans and kilts and all this and the fabric, you know, all the work that goes into making a kilt and all of this, and like the different importances of the colors and things like that. So their next location is the Prickly Thistle. And that's where they make all kinds of different colored tartans for different clans and everything. And it's got a lot of history in this place because it's been around for years. And they still make it. They still make the tartans in the old-fashioned ways. So it's really cool. So the lady that they're talking to, she's talking about how traditionally how the looms would be operated would be with your hands and your feet and stuff until the Industrial Revolution started, you know. And now they're machines that do it themselves, you know. They keep the threads all in order and it feeds through and you know, it's separate, you know, it makes the fabric, you know. But before all that, they were hand, you know, you actually had to operate these looms with, you know, your hands and your feet. And the loom that she's showing Graham and Sam in this segment was made in 1954. So, you know, it's still pretty vintage, but, you know, it's more modern than what they used to make back in, you know, when tartans and kilts were made back in, say, the Outlander times or even before. So she's printing a tartan for Sam, and she starts making it, and she starts explaining what, you know, the process. And every minute there is a 100 strikes for the loom, for the shuttle, to bring the fabric together. So that's pretty cool. And to think that, you know, they've been making these tartans and things for over 200 years, you know, she points that out, that it's pretty neat to be still be able to do all that. So it goes to the next segment, and they show the wool walking, you know, these ladies, there's still women that will do this, you know, to soften the fabric. You know, if y'all listen to my Outlander podcast, you know, the episode with the rents, you know, there was these women that Claire came and she helped them do the wool walking, because what these women would do was they would get, you know, urine and put it on the table and soften the fabrics by wool walking the tartans into the urine, and they would sing to keep the rhythm going. So, because all these women have to be doing that motion together, and what they were doing was making the tartans weatherproof. I think earlier I said, or just a minute ago I said, that they were making it softer, but they were actually making it weatherproof, making it more tough, you know, to survive the elements. So when these women were making these tartans and you know, doing the wool walking, the songs that they were singing, sometimes it was about war, sometimes it was about going away to sailing, sometimes it was about the local gossip, you know, anything. They did anything they could to keep themselves entertained while they did this. And, you know, it was just a way for the women to be able to entertain themselves and also keep keep the rhythm to do it, you know, because the lady that was talking to them said that this would go on all day. You know, you had to walk the wool all day long, to get it where it needed to be. And so, but anyway, they demonstrate two songs for them. They you know, when they first started the segment, they were singing a song, and then when they ended the segment, they sang a little song and was doing it. It's really cool. Like I said in the Outlander episode, where this was brought up in, I find all of this fascinating. I find that, you know, Outlander, bringing this into Outlander, you know, and showing how they do these things is really neat. And I'm glad that Outlander sticks with, you know, keeping the story as accurate as they can. And this is one of those little details that they had done that with. So, but anyway, it goes to the next segment. So now they're going to a location that could be the location of the burial site for Rob Roy McGregor. So they start talking about who Rob Roy was, and apparently he was this clan leader, that he was sort of like the Robin Hood of the Highlands. And what he would do was he would grant you safe passage with your cattle across the lands, but if you didn't pay him, he would come and attack your cattle. So, you know, it was blackmail, and that's where the origins of this term comes from. So I think because of this, they had disputes with the McLarens, you know, what the McGregors would do, or what Rob Roy would do, would be to the McLaren. So I think that's why there's a dispute, but it's also because Rob Roy could be buried on McLaren land. So there's always been that dispute, you know, whether or not he's there or not. And that causes a little bit of controversy between the two clans. So Sam, you know, they're going to this location, and Sam has set up the meeting with these two people. They don't know that they're both coming. You know, he set it up, and he didn't tell them that the other one was coming. So it's going to be very interesting. So Rob Roy spent his last days in Balquitta, and his burial site, you know, is unfortunately on McLaren land, like I explained just a minute ago. And the clan chief strongly disagrees. So, like I said, they're going to meet these men, and Sam, you know, he has to position himself in the middle of these two men, because, you know, just in case, like, a fight, you know, breaks out. So they're standing in a place which is called Eglis Bay, and it is, you know, translates to little church. So the site that they're standing on, there was a bigger church, and they're almost standing in the middle of it, and it was pre-Christian. So, you know, when the smaller church was built, it's a really sacred land. So basically, the McGregor argues that Rob Roy his children settled in the area, and he was settled somewhere else. Like, don't ask me to start translating all these names and stuff, because, you know. But anyway, and he died, and he was buried on this land. Well, now, the McLaren argument is that he tried to take the land from the McLarens, and he died in the battle, and the land that they're standing on is the McLaren kirkyard, so they don't think that the McLarens would have buried him, you know, on a land that he was trying to take. So it's more probably just a memorial of Rob Roy than it is a burial site. So that's why there's this ongoing feud between the two clans, even to this day. So Sam and Graham, you know, or all four men, they toast to Rob Roy McGregor, and then Sam and Graham, you know, leave. And they're back in the camper van, and they're talking about it, and Graham points out that, yeah, these two men, they were nice to each other, and they were, you know, polite and stuff, but you could feel the edge, you know, you could feel the tension between the two men. It's because they were like, yeah, like, why would we have your ancestor buried on our land when we don't even like him, or when they didn't even like him, you know, or the ancestors? So it probably, you know, it was a little awkward. But anyway, so they're driving along there, and Sam is driving on the wrong side of the road. This guy, I swear, I don't know. I don't know if I would ever get in a car with Sam Heughan. But anyways, they're going to go and see a castle of the McTavishes is the next leg of their journey. To get there, they have to get into a plane, and Sam, you know, he goes, you know, he's getting up onto the plane there, and he goes through the door. He goes through the window of the door to this plane. And mind you, they're both wearing kilts, okay? But anyway, and, you know, Graham is telling him, that's not how you do it. Oh, just open the door and everything. And so Sam gets in. He opens the door. Graham hasn't come around. You know, he's like, can you wait till I get around the door to get in and everything? But anyway, so anyway, they got to go in this plane to go to this castle. So Graham tells Sam that he's very excited to be showing Sam his castle of his forefathers. The castle's name is Castle Sween. It could be the oldest stone castle built in Scotland, too, this castle. And Sam, you know, he points out that if he knows anything about the McTavishes, even if it wasn't the oldest built castle in Scotland, they would still say it was. So they're going in to land in this plane, and they're a little nervous because the plane is tilted on its side. But anyway, it lands safely. So this is Graham's first time being at this castle. And he starts talking about how the McTavishes came to the Highlands from Ireland. And they married into the Sween family. So that's why it's called Castle Sween. So the castle is pretty fascinating looking. And it really does look really cool. But Sam, you know, he points out that this castle is, there's a caravan park around the castle. So he's giving Graham a hard time about where the castle, I mean, I guess where the caravan park is located, actually, because, you know, the castle's been there for a long, long time. And Graham, you know, he sits there and he has a moment, you know, it's very emotional for him and everything, but Sam won't let it go that that's a caravan park. And there's a person out there that is exploring the grounds, and he asks them if they're a McTavish, and they yell back no. And Sam does comment that it is a magnificent castle and everything, but they have to move on. And for me, that was a little bit of a disappointment. I kind of wanted them to get out and explore a little bit, but they moved on. And I have a theory on why they didn't explore the grounds there, because it looked like a pretty large tourist attraction, and, you know, being who they are, they probably do have some kind of security, but, at you know, they flew in there by plane, and I don't think they had, you know, enough security for Sam Heughan and Graham McTavish to walk around freely on the grounds, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people that are there for at least for Graham McTavish. So, but anyway, that's just my theory too. I mean, you know, I don't know. But anyway, they move on, and so the next place they go to is Fraser's castle. And Sam, you know, he's talking there, and he's talking about how big the castle is, and he's kind of talking like it's his clan, you know, and everything like that. And Graham reminds him that he just plays a fictional Fraser on TV. He's not an actual Fraser. So this castle is called Beaufort Castle. So Sam, he starts talking about how the Frasers came from France, you know, and from Strawberry. And the woman that's standing there talking to them, she says they believe they have, but the Frasers have been in Great Britain for 900 years. They came with William the Conqueror. But when they came up to Scotland, you know, they clashed with some of the locals and stuff. They fought over land, you know. So they would offer their protection, in defense to these local clans, and eventually they could build their reputation up, you know, as a clan themselves. So Beaufort Castle has been established for 700 years, you know, that castle or something like it has been on that land for 700 years. But the castle that's actually featured in this episode has been built since the Victorian age, because the original castle was burnt down. So the Frasers, they had natural enemies with the Mackenzies and with the Athol Murrays. So, you know, in the time of when Outlander is supposed to be taking place, all of these clans were in a power grab, and they were sucking the Fraser clan dry. And Graham right here says that they were kind of a parasitical clan, and Sam starts to get upset, but he wasn't talking about the Frasers. He was talking about the surrounding clans were sucking the Frasers dry, you know. And he said, "I know your fictional self is getting upset, but I don't mean the Frasers." And right here, Graham has to remind Sam that you're not actually a Fraser. But the woman right here, she says that he could actually become a Balamir Fraser if he swears fealty and allegiance and pays a small fee, which I thought was pretty interesting. I actually wonder if Sam did this. And then Sam asks if the McTavishes got along with the Frasers, and Graham says, "Well, we were miles away, but we got along with everybody and everything." But Sam starts pointing out to the beautiful grounds on the castle and everything, and he says that the McTavishes have a caravan park. So, you know, let's just say if Sam, you know, did become an Amelie Fraser, and he was telling this woman about their beautiful castle, and then talking about Graham's caravan park castle. If they weren't enemies before, I'm gonna assume that they could be enemies now. So, you know, Graham starts talking, you know, the voiceover, and he says, "We've managed to learn the history of the clans and stuff, but we managed to not reignite any old feuds with the clans and stuff." And he says that I think we should reward ourselves with a nice dinner. So, Sam, you know, he says, "Good, we could use up my castle." And Graham, you know, reminds him, "It's not your castle," and everything. But anyway, they sit down to have a meal, you know, dinner. And it's they have this big table that they have fixed up and everything. And Graham starts talking about that they learned a lot from this journey, about the McGregors and the McLarens and the McLeods and the McDonalds and everything. And Sam says, "Yes, it's interwoven. You know, the history of Scotland is as interwoven as the tartan, you know, fabric." And Graham, you know, he's really impressed with, you know, that Sam come up with that and everything. But I'm really glad that Graham got to see his castle, and that they showed the Fraser castle. I loved this episode. So that's going to wrap up this episode and this discussion. So y'all stay tuned for trivia. So the trivia I have for you, like I said, when Sam was talking about how he doesn't know much about his clans and stuff, and I'm not speaking for Sam, I don't know anything, like I said, about him, but what I found on Google, and I just did a quick Google search about clans and things, so what I found is it says, While the rich and romantic history of the Scottish clan system is rare, perhaps unique among the nation of the world, not every surname with a Scottish heritage is associated with a Scottish clan. Indeed, it has been estimated that fewer than 30% of all Scottish surnames carry a history of clan association. The Great Clans of Scotland, however, is number one. The MacLeans of Glencoe, their motto is death or life. The MacLeods of Isle of Skye, their motto is hold fast. The Sinclairs of John O'Groats, their motto is commit thy works to God. The MacIntoshes of Inverness, their motto is touch not the cat without a glove. And the MacKenzies of Ross and Cromarty, their motto is I shine not burn. So I thought that was some interesting information because, you know, not every surname in Scotland belongs to a clan. And like I said, I'm not going to speak for Sam Heughan, but that might be, you know, why he doesn't know a lot about his clan name, because he may not belong to a clan. But like I said, anyway, y'all stay tuned for show notes. Okay, so for the show notes that I got from Mental Floss, it says, Graham McTavish hopes men in kilts dispels two Scottish myths. One is that Scotland has horrible food. There's been a misconception that Scottish food was not that great and just haggis. McTavish says Scottish food is among the best in the world. It's absolutely fantastic, especially the produce. It's the envy of Europe. And the second thing, which hopefully comes across in the show, is that stupid idea that Scots are mean and kind of tight and all that sort of stuff. Honestly, they're the most generous people I've ever met. They would do anything for you. And yes, I can certainly tell that Scottish people are really sweet people. So anyway, that's going to wrap up this episode. I don't have any feedback, but like I said, all the time, I always say this, if y'all want to get in touch with me, I'll leave a way for you to do that in the description. And that's going to wrap up this episode, so y'all keep having fun. There or something like it has been